Well, I'm sure you'll have picked up from the reading that our focus is on the day of Pentecost. The day of Pentecost is one of the most significant days in the story of God's purpose in history and into this world. The Jewish Hebrew festival of Pentecost came 50 days. That's why we have Pentecost. It came 50 days after the Passover festival. And it celebrated the beginning of the annual harvest, the bringing in of the first fruits. And therefore it became a pointer forward to right across the agricultural year, to the gathering in of the harvest as the year would proceed. It also celebrated the giving of the Torah, the law, on Mount Sinai. It came 7 weeks and one day, 49 plus one, 7 weeks and one day, 50 days after the Passover. So for the apostles and disciples of Jesus, it occurred, like the resurrection, on the first day of the week. And that in itself was symbolic of a whole new beginning, the first day of the week. It was a new creation that was being pointed to. It was a whole new order under God's anointed Messiah. Pentecost, therefore, was the first fruits of the Great Commission to evangelize the whole world. The bringing in, not just of the first fruits, but the whole harvest. So it has an ongoing, and that's why it's so important for us to not just note it, but to celebrate it and appreciate just the power and presence of God coming by the Holy Spirit on Pentecost. Heralded the coming of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus promised. The one who would write the Torah on people's hearts. One who would write the law of God, the holiness of God, the righteousness of God on young and old, male and female. Didn't Paul write, when he was writing to Rome, the kingdom of God, the kingdom of God is righteousness, joy and peace in the Holy Spirit. Just 2 days ago, D-Day, the longest day, the bridgehead of Allied forces into Normandy and the beginning of the great mission to reclaim Europe, was being celebrated. That momentous event that would bring not only Europe, but the whole world from under forces of evil and darkness. And I just couldn't help but think, as I was preparing this passage and looking at some of the amazing programs on the television, just almost the similarity between the significance of D-Day, the longest day, and Pentecost. It's a bridgehead into restoring and establishing a whole new order. And you know, the New Testament doesn't hesitate to use military allusions. I know we need to be very careful because we do not live by the sword. It's a different kingdom. The New Testament doesn't hesitate to use military allusions to illustrate the mission that we're now involved in, that we're part of. And what a telling illustration D-Day is of this greater campaign. The kingdom of God. The kingdom of God against the world rulers of this present darkness. That's what we're involved in. Those of us who name the name of Jesus. We are enabled by the same Holy Spirit, the Holy Spirit of Pentecost. We join in the march toward that great final declaration. Listen to it. The kingdom of the world has become the kingdom of our Lord and of his Christ, and he will reign forever and ever. That's the significance of who we are. That's the significance of what we're about here on the first day of a new week, and here as we think of Pentecost. I read from Hebrews chapter 1. Amazing words. They really describe the unfolding significance of Pentecost. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Testified to what? This great salvation. Notice the word. How shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? The climax on the day of Pentecost, which I read, came like this. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. They were cut to the heart and said to Peter and the other apostles, "Brothers, what shall we do?" That was the climax of the coming of the Holy Spirit. Such a great salvation. That's what we want to think about this morning. As we think of Pentecost, as we think of the implications of it, not just for then, but for now, and not just for us, but for the whole world. Because it's that kind of event. It's that kind of event. I want us to think of the fact that it's a final statement of salvation. Final statement of salvation. Over in the book of Hebrews, it starts off like this. In the past, God spoke to our forefathers through the prophets at many times and in various ways. But in these, note, last days, he has spoken to us by his Son, whom he appointed heir of all things, and through whom he made the universe. The greatness of our Lord Jesus, the greatness of who he is celebrated in the book of Hebrews. That's why you get this phrase, so great salvation. And it's such a great salvation because it's God's final statement. God's final statement. Remember how John puts it in the gospel account. In the beginning was the Word, and the Word was with God, and the Word was God, and the Word became flesh. So God is speaking. And notice how Peter, on the day of Pentecost, reminds the people, Parthians, Medes, Elamites, residents of Mesopotamia, Judea and Cappadocia, Pontus and Asia, Phrygia and Pamphylia, Egypt and the parts of Libya near Cyrene, visitors from Rome, both Jews and converts to Judaism, Cretans and Arabs. Notice, we hear them. We hear them declaring the word wonders of God in our own tongues. God is bringing his message to all the different dialects, all the different peoples. And on that day, Peter said something that probably he didn't realize the full implications of. It wasn't until he was in the house of Cornelius that the full implications came to him. He said, the promise is to you and to your children and to all who are afar off. Here are Jewish people and converts to Judaism coming from different parts of the then known world. And they're hearing because of the presence and power of the Holy Spirit giving the gift of languages, tongues to the witnesses. And the message goes out and it's symbolic of that whosoever will. It's for the whole world. The promise is to you and to your children. And it's God's final statement. And he's making absolutely clear by the presence and power of the Holy Spirit that it isn't just for. It's for everyone. It's for everyone to hear. And that's what you get from Peter as he speaks about on the day of Pentecost. No, this is what was spoken by the prophet Joel. In the last days, God says, I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. I want you just to think about that phrase for a moment or two. In the last days, it's God's final statement. I will pour out my spirit on all people. Your sons and daughters will prophesy. Your young men will see visions. Your old men will dream dreams. Prophesying is declaring God's word, God's message. It's declaring, it's speaking out. Visions is looking forward with anticipation. Dreams, not nightmares. Dreams is just being overwhelmed where the imagination is being extended beyond one can even grasp or think. Here are lives in these last days. The day of Pentecost, 2,000 years ago, that's the final statement. Here, Peter is saying this is the fulfillment of what Joel promised. Young men, old men, women, men, different people, across the genders, across the generations. And then, as I alluded earlier on, when Peter was in Cornelius' house, across the cultural divides. People will be filled with hope. People will be filled with anticipation and expectation of a new day, a new thing. It's God's great salvation. The joy of it was just overwhelming on that day of Pentecost. Keep in mind, as the book of Hebrews says in chapter 2, as it points back to the giving of the law, for if the message spoken, if the message spoken by angels was binding, and every violation and disobedience received its just punishment, how shall we escape if we ignore such a great salvation? I mentioned in the introduction, for the Jewish people, the day of Pentecost celebrated the giving of the law. When they believed by angelic presence, the law was given, the Torah. Speak to a Jew today. The Torah is priceless, and reverence for the Torah. But on that day, the day of Pentecost, the Holy Spirit, the Spirit of holiness, came with God's final statement to write the law on the heart, the great salvation. It's the complete statement of salvation the day of Pentecost brings. Notice what Hebrews 2 brings to us. This salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit. You have there in those words a summary. Basically, a summary of Matthew, Mark, Luke, and John in the Acts. You have this salvation was first announced by the Lord, was confirmed to us by those who heard him. God also testified to it by signs, wonders, and various miracles and gifts of the Holy Spirit distributed according to his will. Notice what Peter says on the day of Pentecost. Acts chapter 2. Turn over with me to Acts. Acts chapter 2. Look at verse 22. You'll see how this links in with what we see in Hebrews. Men of Israel, listen to this. Jesus of Nazareth was a man accredited by God to you by miracles, wonders and signs which God did among you through him, as you yourselves know. This man was handed over to you by God's set purpose and foreknowledge, and you, with the help of wicked men, put him to death by nailing him to the cross. There's the announced by Jesus, by his presence. The life, the story that we find in Matthew, Mark, Luke and John. And then, but God raised him from the dead. But God raised him from the dead, freeing him from the agony of death, because it was impossible for death to keep its hold on him. David said about him, I saw the Lord always before me. This is the sermon, the message, the message that the people heard from all their different languages. Quoting David, I saw the Lord always before me because he's at my right hand. I will not be shaken. Therefore, my heart is glad, my tongue rejoices, my body also will live in hope. Because you will not abandon me to the grave, nor will you let your Holy One see decay. You have made known to me the paths of life. You will fill me with joy in your presence. What's happening? The Holy Spirit is inspiring Peter and filling him with Scripture. And the full understanding of Scripture is impacting on Peter as he preaches. And he's relating the life of this man, Jesus of Nazareth. This is who was among us. This was who was here. This is what happened. And Jews are listening to this from all different parts of the world. And they're hearing the Old Testament Psalms being applied to the life of the man who lived among them, whom they crucified. And they are beginning to understand, by the help of the Holy Spirit, that this is God's final statement, God's complete statement. The fullness has come. And as Peter illustrates, look, David died. David wasn't talking about himself. David was talking about the Lord from heaven. And in verse 31, seeing what was ahead, he spoke of the resurrection of who? The Christ, the Messiah. That he was not abandoned to the grave, nor did his body see decay. And then Peter comes with the punchline. The punchline on the day of Pentecost. Which shows that not only is this God's final statement, that this is God's complete statement. There is no other statement going to come from heaven. That's the reality. There is no greater statement going to come from heaven. So he says, God has raised this Jesus to life. Now get that statement as if it was the first time you heard that fact. We're so familiar with it. Get that statement as it rivets, as it were, into your heart and life for the very first time. God has raised this Jesus to life. It's impossible. Someone coming back from the dead. God has raised this Jesus to life, and we are all witnesses of the fact. Exalted to the right hand of God, he has received from the Father the promised Holy Spirit and has poured out what you now see and hear. Imagine us there on the day of Pentecost, being taken by the sound, by the activity, by the transformation in these Galileans. The audacity to come out in public. And the sense that there is something phenomenal happening. And then Peter again brings in the Scriptures. As he quotes again to undergird their witness to the facts that are happening, and the testimony of the Scriptures. The Lord said to my Lord, sit at my right hand until I make your enemies a footstool for your feet. Therefore, now here is the real punchline. And it's the punchline for us today. Because remember what we're thinking about. Book of Hebrews, so great salvation. Here's Peter. Therefore, let all Israel be assured of this. Grasp it. Grip it. That's basically what he's telling the people. Let all Israel be assured of this. God has made this Jesus, whom you crucified, both Lord and Christ. He has revealed the fact that none other than God has been among you. He has revealed the fact that none other than the promised Messiah has come. That's the power. Remember Jesus said, you will receive power when the Holy Spirit comes upon you? This is the power of the Holy Spirit, as Jesus said. He will not talk about himself. He will take of the things that are mine and declare them to you. And this is the declaration that's happening on the day of Pentecost. As I put up on the screen, it's God's final word. It's God's complete word. But as the book of Hebrews says, it's God's urgent word. It's God's urgent word. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? And that's what happened on the day of Pentecost. When the people heard this, they were cut to the heart. Verse 37. They were cut to the heart. Can you imagine what being cut to the heart is like? If you're cut in your hand, if you're cut in your hand, you wince. You jump back. But to be cut to the heart, isn't it the same book of Hebrews says that the word of God is a living, active, sharp, two-edged sword, piercing to the division of soul and spirit, joints and marrow? That's what happened on the day of Pentecost. The Holy Spirit took up the word, and by the power of that word, with the anointing of tongue speaking, the people heard in their own languages so that there was no mistake. And isn't it beautiful the way it says on that list of people that are mentioned? It says Cretans and Arabs. Cretans and Arabs. Over in the book of Titus, Paul refers to Cretans as evil brutes, lazy gluttons. And sadly, the Arabic people have been so often disparaged and put down. Isn't it beautiful that you see the people from every different background, with all their different sense of rejection, being gathered by the Holy Spirit and hearing about God's love, and hearing about God's Savior, and hearing about this great salvation, and they're cut to the heart. What shall we do? And they respond. They respond. And on that day, 3,000, just imagine it, 3,000 surrendered, as we sang right at the very start, I surrender all. They surrendered to Jesus. Have you surrendered to Jesus? Have you been cut to the heart? Have you known the Holy Spirit just opening and showing up what needs to be cleansed? Because it's salvation. It's salvation. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's beautiful. It's always with, sadly, a measure of reluctance that we emphasize this point. It's not popular today. It's not popular today because I fear many do not believe it. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation? It's spiritual suicide to neglect Jesus, to ignore Jesus, to even to use the phrase that's in Hebrews, drift away. Yes, we're seeing maybe increasing antagonism to the gospel. But praise God, right across the world, right across the world, there are many being gathered in. Speaking to my brother just on the phone earlier this week, and he's just come back from Beijing where he's visiting his son, who's on a work employment commitment there for a couple of years. And he's just been fascinated by the whole experience. But it was quite amazing when he said, I went out for a walk, and obviously I sat down at a great, phenomenal, new, modern shopping centre area. And obviously he stood out, as it were, being English European from Great Britain. And the guard began to speak to him, was sitting opposite him in the shopping centre area. Excellent English. And this conversation didn't last very long before she announced that she was a Christian, family of Christians, and began to describe what had been happening in her family's life. To a stranger. It was beautiful. And that's the wonderful work of the Spirit of God. The Spirit of God is still bearing witness powerfully to men and women, boys and girls. And there are individuals, men, women, boys and girls, who are prophesying or praising the wonders of God. They're having a future vision, as it were, of the new creation and what God is intending and is planning. And they're not being overwhelmed by the negativity of this world. They're beginning to dream of what God is going to do when His Son returns. How shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation?